He has been called the stranger who came from paradise. As a child, William Blake went for long walks over many miles around 18th century London. Looking up into a tree, he saw angels there. So began the singular career of this mystic, poet, painter, and engraver. Perhaps his greatest gift, the people of Albion, as he called it, is their only true and pure national anthem, Jerusalem. I never cease to wonder at massed football crowds singing a hymn that asks God to take away the industrial ugliness of their land so that they can live in a Britannic version of the heavenly city. There is something wonderful about early working class blokes singing a praise request that they become visionary prophets who are alive to the world of spiritual glory that surrounds them, people who are full of a passion for the truth. Here is a vision of national identity that has come from the gates of another world. This morning we heard about a man who travelled the other way. What can it have been like to be called back from a four-day sojourn with the dead? Recollections of near-death experiences are all the rage these days, but this is the story of a man who crossed over the frontier and stayed there for a while. The details of the story are intriguing. Time is everything. The four-day wait makes this an event that will point to the glory of God. Compassion has little to do with it. This is the greatest of the signs that Jesus wrought. It makes it unmistakably clear who Jesus is and what God is about through him. For this reason, it is the tripwire that sets in motion the authority's decision to send Jesus through the gates of death. We might note also the costliness of this sign. Jesus wept and was stirred up in his spirit, not because of grief, but because he had to mobilize all his psychic energy and spiritual resources to roll back death, the last enemy. Notice too what an ambiguous sign it is. This is not resurrection. It is a temporary return from the dead. Bishop John A.T. Robinson puts it well when he wrote, "Even those whom Jesus raises from the dead have to die again, and they must die something. Jesus shows that he is even now the resurrection and the life, the body as well as the soul, as he is even now healer of all our diseases. But it is quite evidently not God's will that death shall be done away with within this age." We're now 2 weeks away from Easter Sunday and the celebration of the resurrection. What does Lazarus have to say to us about the healing ministry of Jesus in this most stupendous act of that ministry, and about our eternal destiny? There is a not yet quality about how it is that we come to be saved. Eric Petrie put it well when he wrote, "Although Easter changes the world utterly, all creation still groans in labour. Everything is different, but everything remains the same. Lazarus will die again. Disease and death are defeated by the cross, but not yet. They continue. But the kingdom still comes upon some people, and they experience healing here and now." When healing occurs in the New Testament, through the ministry of Jesus, it is as though it sneaks up on people as something that has happened ahead of its time, an event that should by rights have occurred only when the kingdom comes in all its fullness, has been brought forward by some mysterious and wonderful means. It overtakes people. It comes upon them as if Jesus was adroit at moving time dimensions around on behalf of those he ministered to. So when someone in our days experiences an instantaneous, complete and lasting healing, that is an anticipation of the glory that is to come. It is a forward-looking sign of what is just over the horizon in the life of the world to come. Healing miracles have this quality of witness to the fully realized effects of Easter. They remind us that the not-yet dimension of these days will not last forever, and that the best is yet to be. But life for most people, most of the time, is about being caught up in the necessities of a world of unyielding limitations. The biggest limitation of them is that stop sign called death. Even Lazarus and that handful of people Jesus raised from the dead returned to that undiscovered country. And that is the reality that Paul engages with this morning in the letter to the Romans. He is really clear that we are creatures of dust, whose natural fate is to return to the dust. He doesn't go along with any of the false consolation that there's some kind of natural immortality in us that sails on beyond the death of the body. The language of immortal souls is foreign to him. So if he is so clear about our frail mortality, then what could he mean when he wrote, "If the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you." Think about your life of faith. There is an experience of Jesus Christ going on inside each one of you that hopefully has been growing and developing since you started becoming a believer. And it is an experience that's bigger than just that which we can get a clear memory of or a rational line on. Jesus is at work in your depths in all sorts of ways that the bit of the iceberg that is above the waterline cannot know about. There is a kind of interpenetration of your psychic hinterland going on as the Spirit of God coalesces with your spirit. A process of linking and bonding is going on all the time as the Christ of faith develops an inner intimacy life with us. It is this that continues beyond death, as everything else about us falls back into the dust. As C.H. Dodd put it in his wonderful commentary on the Epistle to the Romans, the life after death is not a new life, it is the life we have been living all the time in Christ, only lived under different conditions. So the faith union we have with Jesus Christ now is the nucleus that the transforming action of resurrection will work on to bring us into the life of the world to come. It is a matter of Christ within us, the hope of glory to come. In these anxious days, when saturation news coverage of just one issue revs people up and makes of anxiety almost an infectious disease, we can remain calm and collected if we hold on to the central truth of the Christian religion, one made crystal clear by today's gospel reading. We need not be afraid of death. It holds no terrors for us, because we are in the Lord's hands, both in this world and in the next. He holds us in the palm of his hands. Like William Blake, let us lift our eyes for greater glory beyond this present situation, to a more inspiring destiny. Let us be prophets of a better time for our nation and for our people. Bring me my bow of burning gold. Bring me my arrows of desire. Bring me my spear, O clouds unfold. Bring me my chariot of fire. Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.